The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. Welcome to December. We've made it. It's Tuesday, December the 1st, by the time you're listening to this, because it's happening as we record it. And this is your Week 12 Monday Night Football recap. Somehow, this won't be the last recap of a Week 12 game we have, because it's 2020. This is how it works. We don't think it's going to magically change back in 2021, but it'd be nice if it did. We have Ravens Steelers coming up on Wednesday night. Wednesday afternoon, 3:40?
We think. There's still a chance this game gets postponed to March. Let's not pretend like that can't happen.
Sure. This game is supposed to happen on Thanksgiving night. It's now happening on a Wednesday afternoon in December.
It is actually going to be a primetime game in London. That'll be their first primetime game.
Really? For the people of London.
On weeknight. Yeah,
they deserve that.
Or England. Or
is it time to open up the can of worms? And is the Roger Goodell engineered the pandemic just to put football on at primetime in London?
I was waiting. I heard that on my sports QAnon site, and I heard that same theory. I knew it. I was waiting for Brinson to spout it out.
Obviously, John Breach and Ryan Wilson here to recap Eagles and who did they play? Seahawks. Eagles lost. Didn't matter. Eagles and Seahawks. I'm just kidding. It's a weird week in football. It feels like, I don't want to go too off the edge here. It does feel like we're teetering a little bit.
Which, right? Teetering schedule-wise or teetering football at all-wise?
Both.
Yeah, when I say schedule-wise, I mean in terms of the teams that are sort of playing their way out of playoff contention. And then.
Oh, no, I meant like
I think he's like, talking about the fact like that
football might stop happening.
Right. About the fact that the Broncos had to play with zero quarterbacks, that the 49ers have been kicked out of their stadium, and that the Ravens and Steelers have been postponed 17 times. Is that where you going with that, Brinson?
I'm basically.
Yes. And then now we're headed towards a triple header next Monday, but now it's a double header Monday into a single header on Tuesday with the option for a double header on Tuesday if something goes wrong.
It's a lot of bonus podcasts. The listeners, this is our Cyber Monday special. We're just throwing out the bonus podcasts with all these games.
Of course, we do appreciate everyone listening. If you listen and you like the podcast, rate, subscribe, and review. Everyone who's hung with us and jumped on board amid the pandemic, amid a wild and crazy 2020 season. We love you. We appreciate it. Apologies. Didn't win you any money. Well, maybe. I mean, didn't win any money on the props off the Monday Night Football preview. Mike McClure and I loved, Chris Carson overs, carries and rush yards. He ended up with 8 carries for 41 yards despite the Seahawks leading basically the entire time. The reminder there is Pete Carroll's a liar. That's on me. I fell for it. I lost a bunch there too. Carson did score a touchdown, so that was good, but Carlos Hyde out carried him 15-8. Pete Carroll is the ultimate liar. It's unbelievable. And I would say that like there could be no bigger liar, except we heard repeatedly that Jalen Hurts was going to get first team. He got first team reps all week. He was going to see 20% of the plays. He came in for one play and threw one pass, despite Carson Wentz being just awful. And the Seahawks beat the Eagles 23-17. You know what? Should I go to Debo first here?
Yeah, just to recap. Yeah, just to recap on the last Sunday Night Podcast thing, I said I was on the Giants.
No, actually, I have a recording of what you said, huh?
The Cowboys will be 3-3 after they win tonight, and they have a path to 9 wins.
That's Breach. That's Breach imitating me, because Breach is on the Cowboys. I'm on the Giants. You're on the football team, right? Is that right, Brinson?
Yeah, no. I'm on Washington. Yeah, I'm on the football
team. Yeah, and Debo's on the Eagles. You know what's funny is, who do you think feels the best right now about their chances? If I had to rank it, I would go Brinson, me, Debo, and then Wilson, because of the old Daniel Jones injury.
Daniel Jones is going to play. But anyway,
that's not. He's done, man.
He's got a hamstring, man. If he's playing, he's 50%.
Yeah, the report out there is like he's going to miss some time.
He's fine. Anyway, I want to set up
Darius Slay, by the way, after the game, he got destroyed by DK Metcalf. But I lost every 50-50 ball. I let the team down. I got to play better. Ouch.
He should have sent that from Carson Wentz's Twitter account. Anyway, sorry. Let Debo speak. I just want to set up who was who.
Well, Debo. My first statement, I'm just going to update the odds. I'm just going to update the odds real quick that we talk about on a weekly basis with the NFC East. These from William Hill. The Giants actually lead now at plus 200. Washington football team plus 220. Eagles down to plus 240. And the Cowboys at plus 500. The updated odds after the Eagles loss. The Eagles were minus money on Sunday night, but the underdog, clear underdog against the Seahawks. So I don't know what changes there. What do you want me to say? I think context matters. Carson Wentz has been horrible this season. There's no way around that. I do think context matters. He has been very bad. There's no pass. There are some circumstances around him that I think contribute to his poor play, but it's been bad. I'm not ready to write off his career. He's been elite at times. He's been very bad at times. A bad season does not mean we cancel his career in my mind. I don't know if that's where this discussion is headed. On their way out in Philadelphia? Roseman, Peterson.
Whoa.
Yeah, look what I'm doing there.
Whoa. All right. Hold on. Let's.
Are you reacting because I said those names or because I'm saying their last names and not their first names?
Wait, can I ask Debo one question? Debo, at what point tonight did you know the Eagles were going to lose? Was it after the fourth straight three and out to start the game or the fifth straight three and out to start the game?
You know me.
He didn't think they were losing until that onside kick
until Peterson didn't kick a field goal.
I was like, let's go, Jake. Let's get this onside kick.
Why didn't he kick the field goal? All right. Let's unpack this a little bit. And we will get the Seahawks in a second. But the Eagles are the story here because Carson Wentz at one point had 4 passing yards and 20 rushing yards. The offensive line is in shambles. Jason Peters, Lane Johnson, who's a stud, played through like 17 different injuries and just couldn't take it anymore and he said that his ankle was, I believe, quote, hollowed out and just finally had to call the dogs off and step away from the season. Jason Peters, who is, I think
he's the same age as Aaron Rodgers and Ben Roethlisberger.
I was going to say he's as old as Breach. He's probably as old as Breach and Mara are the same age. Like he's old enough to be Debo's uncle.
And he feels like you and Breach in the morning when you get out of bed. But the difference is he has to play left tackle and block.
And he's like, I'm going to move to guard because I'm so immobile that I can't play tackle. One of the probably a Hall of Fame tackle or at least close to it. Their offensive line is a disaster. Carson, but I felt like during the broadcast, the problem with this game at this time in this slot is that it doesn't get written off as a Sunday 1 o'clock game where Carson Wentz stinks again. And it's like, all right, we'll just move on to the next NFC East game. It was a real indictment of Carson Wentz as a quarterback for the short and long haul.
Let me add one thing though.
He was awful.
I thought he played better in the third quarter, but here's also what was awful. The offensive line clearly is in shambles. Why in God's name you're benching Travis Fulgham for Alshon Jeffrey? I don't understand. Speaking of Breach and Brinson, you guys can get separation better than Alshon Jeffrey. The play calling was absolute dog doo-doo. I don't know what Doug is doing.
They are
not helping Carson Wentz is my issue. We talked yesterday. Yesterday. We talk all the time. Mitch Trubisky, if he were in Kansas City, you guys loved him a little more than I did. And Matt, Carson Wentz would not be this terrible in Kansas City is my point.
Of course not.
That's my point.
How many quarterbacks, considering the circumstances, would kind of overcome everything that Carson Wentz has to deal with? I think it's limited to one hand. Not to say that Carson hasn't played.
It's limited to one finger. Maybe Patrick Mahomes. Who else?
I don't think Patrick Mahomes is coming out of college and overcoming this.
No, like this year, for example. Tom Brady is literally dead.
Russell Wilson would.
Okay. I'll give you those two. But like Tom Brady.
Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers, maybe.
Yeah. But not for as long because he's older and we've seen Aaron Rodgers when they start losing. Like Aaron Rodgers quits at halftime if they're down by 2 touchdowns.
So I think
the Eagles are never down by 2 touchdowns. They're always in every game.
This is what bugs me more than anything. It's like you're watching, like, what is Doug Peterson doing? Why is he not just running mesh every play?
Well, and that's the
crossing
thing.
Crossing routes, every play, give Carson Wentz easy opportunities. And I think this is ultimately the problem. Doug wants to run his offense. And Carson doesn't want to run Doug's offense. Carson Wentz wants to be a Carson Wentz quarterback. And he's hell-bent on extending plays and forcing throws into spots. They're not on the same page at all. We can talk about the offensive line. We can talk about the weapons that we want. They had enough weapons out there tonight where there's no excuse. Right?
Yeah. Dallas Goedert played great.
Yeah. Dallas Goedert. Jalen Reagor's a stud. Miles Sanders is a second-round pick. Reagor's a first-round pick, obviously. Goddard's a high pick, second-round pick. Travis Fulgham, we're not going to, you know, Greg Ward, whatever. Those guys aren't monsters or anything, but, like, he has weapons. He's better weapons than Cam Newton in New England.
Is Jalen Reagor a stud?
Yeah, I think Jalen Reagor's good.
That's okay. The question. Is he a stud? Because
now we can also talk about the revenge factor of Howie Roseman taking JJ Arcega Whiteside over DK Metcalf.
Yeah, you're big on the revenge thing. I don't think that was the least of Howie's concerns on Monday night. And
Metcalf would be a net plus for the Eagles right now.
Yeah, he would, but I don't think like that's not motivating DK Metcalf. I think DK is just dominating.
Tom Brady routinely talks about how he wants to burn everyone who passed on him to the ground.
Yeah, but Tom Brady also cried in a documentary 15 years after the fact about how he got passed.
That's because he's emotional.
Yeah, but he's like, these six teams picked quarterbacks over me. You don't think that DK Metcalf's like, these eight teams picked wide receivers?
Yeah, no, I'm sure. Like, when he wakes up in the morning, he's reading his What I Gotta Do Today calendar, like, motivation's at the top of it, but I don't think it's every living moment for him.
Yeah, but then when he watches the Eagles highlights or plays against them like he did tonight, how happy do you think he is that he didn't get drafted by the Eagles?
Career high in receiving yards against one of the teams that drafted, like,
I think I
am a spiteful person.
What?
I firmly believe that people are motivated by spite. I think DK Metcalf
in the short term, it's a lot of work to be motivated by spite in the full, like over the long haul. But maybe you've mastered that.
It helps. It helps if you're a professional athlete who needs to manufacture chips on your shoulder.
Maybe Aaron Rodgers, Jordan Love. You know, that's
right.
Or Aaron Rodgers, spite. More spite.
Yeah. Tom Brady's entire career is built on chips on his shoulder. Anyway.
But let me just say this. Tom Brady could be as spiteful as he wants to be, and even Aaron Rodgers to some extent, because his age, that spite ain't going to manifest itself into wins playing on this. They were the Eagles quarterback this year.
This is a 12-win team with Russell Wilson, I think.
You are absolutely utterly drunk. Thank you.
What?
12?
The Eagles?
They would win. They would win four times as many games as they're winning with Carson Wentz, is what you're saying, with this exact same roster makeup.
The Eagles have already locked up the NFC East with Russell Wilson instead of Carson Wentz. Absolutely.
Oh, easy. Any of the teams in the NFC East would have already locked up the NFC East with Russell Wilson.
He said 12 wins. There's a huge disparity between Russell Wilson as your quarterback and winning the NFC East.
If you got Russell Wilson, you get to play the Washington team twice, the Dallas team twice.
And then you get to play the Seahawks quarterbacked by Carson Wentz.
Right. That's a free win too.
You guys, again, once again.
But Will, you admit it, the circumstances and the injuries and just being gutted. I get Russell Wilson is levels and levels above Carson Wentz, but he's still dealing with just a terrible situation.
And we saw that.
Is Russell Wilson's situation that much better than Carson Wentz's?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, would I like to have Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf and even like the Seahawks offensive line being what it is? I would take
check on Tyler Lockett's stats tonight. What do you have? He had,
yeah, but who, because DK Metcalf was out there.
Three catches for 23 yards. Tyler Lockett.
Oh, so in other words, less than Boston Scott. That's what you're saying.
Do you want to compare season stats for Tyler Lockett and the?
Let's do that next.
Eagles are crushing.
Fine. The Eagles are a 10-win team if you put Russell Wilson on them instead of Carson Wentz.
No, they're not.
Are you nuts?
If everyone's
Russell
healthy
Wilson
this year,
routinely overcomes a terrible offensive line, a terrible like running game. And he just wins games. Yes, absolutely. Eagles win 10 games with Russell Wilson instead of Carson Wentz.
I'll agree with 10, but 12 crazy.
For 215 yards and two touchdowns, one of which was a deflected like flop into Richard Rodgers' lap at the end of the game in a meaningless shot.
It still counts.
Carson Wentz can't hit the ball side of a barn right now. Russell Wilson is throwing deep balls left and right on anybody. Jalen Reagor is a 1,000-yard receiver with Russell Wilson.
Oh my gosh, this guy's.
Have you guys lost your? Why is the whole world rushing to defend Carson Wentz?
Why? Outside of Dan Orlovsky, I don't think anyone is rushing to defend Carson Wentz.
The entire broadcast did it on Monday night. You're doing it right now.
No, like, I'm not. I'm saying that Russell Wilson wouldn't win 12 games or 10 games. I think 8-8 seems
– or 8-10's fair.
Russell Wilson's never gone 8-8 in his life. Why would he go 8-8 magically? Because he's got a Super Bowl-winning head coach.
So using your logic, he should just play for the Jets, and the Jets will magically be a good football team. That's what you said.
The Jets would win 6 games with Russell Wilson, I think.
Well, the reason I agree with Brenton is because I think if Russell Wilson played for the Eagles, they would sweep the NFC East. That's 6 games right there. All they have to do is go 4-6 in the other 10, and they get the 10 wins.
He's not sweeping the NFC East.
They're sweeping the NFC East.
Right. Grow up.
And they're winning all 6 games by 3 touchdowns.
The reason you're agreeing with Brenton is because of Stockholm Syndrome. That's the
No. I disagreed on the 12 wins. I don't think they get the 12 wins with Russell Wilson. I think 10 is fair.
We're early in the Stockholm Syndrome. 2 more weeks.
Russell Wilson on the Eagles is we've already Jalen Hurts is playing because they've already locked up the NFC East.
And the funny thing is, remember, there's
Carson
that whole
Wentz is playing awful football right now.
There's that whole story that the Eagles wanted to draft Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people did in retrospect. Look, the Eagles are winning the division hands down with Russell Wilson. I did 12 wins and I'm not even sure about 10 wins. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. So you give him 9 wins.
I'm willing to go size 8. 8-7-1.
You've lost your mind. Russell Wilson has never won less than 8 games.
8-7-1.
This Eagles defense is not bad.
They tied the Bengals.
Because Doug Peterson sucks right now, but Russell Wilson is overcoming Pete Carroll and Brian Schottenheimer. He will overcome Doug Peterson, who is a Super Bowl winning head coach.
And not even 8 games. Russell Wilson has never won less than 9 games.
What are you talking about? He's going to go 8-8 with his Eagles team. This Eagles team is fine. Carson Wentz sucks right now.
They're not fine.
He drew the PI down the field to Goddard. That was a freebie touchdown. All you have to do is put any air under it. 75% of NFL quarterbacks who are on rosters right now can make that throw. And Carson Wentz underthrew him by 5 or 6 yards.
Does Mike Glennon make that throw?
Absolutely. Mike Glennon has that in the bag all day long. You have that in the bag, Breach.
Mike Glennon does. Trubisky does not. I'll give you that.
Trubisky makes that throw.
He didn't make it last night.
There's a crossing route, same thing to Goddard, where he hit the defender in the head. I don't know what's wrong with Wentz right now.
In his defense, he got absolutely smoked. And I think Brian Greasy said, yeah, you got to step up in the pocket. Well, oh, you can, but you're leaving it in a body bag. So I understand if you underthrow that one by a half yard. I get that.
Greasy's like, sure, this guy might not complete, 97% of his passes, but he's willing to take a helmet to the chest. It's like, well, that's great.
So, well, Brenton, it's funny because you mentioned earlier that you thought this game was kind of an indictment on Carson Wentz, and I absolutely agree with that. But I also thought it was an equally bad indictment on Doug Peterson. I thought this was on display to the country. You always hear about it, that the whole entire division's so bad. The Eagles might be the best team in this division, and everyone just got to see just total incompetence on display from Carson Wentz, from Doug Peterson. And the thing is, when you don't have any protection from your offensive line, why are you throwing it 45 times? We were talking about the Eagles started this game going 3 and out on their first 5 possessions. They only totaled 4 yards on those 5 possessions.
That's 0.2 yards per play.
0.2 yards per play. And 8 of it, I think, was on a run for Miles Sanders, which was the Philly's longest run of the game. Or Carson Wentz had a 20-yard scramble. But the point here is that, so on those drives, their first 10 plays, they only called 2 runs. Like, they just give up on the run before it even starts. They're trying to sling the ball. And when half your offensive line's injured, your guard's playing with a broken toe, and your quarterback is happy feet and airmails every pass, you can't throw the ball 45 times. And that's on Doug Peterson for coming with these cockamamie game plans that just aren't going to work. What's Carson Wentz supposed to do? So
I don't disagree. I think Doug Peterson is equally at fault here with Carson Wentz. And the problem is that...
That's what Breach is saying, though, isn't it?
Is that what I'm saying?
That's what Breach is saying. Doesn't he agree with that?
No, I agree with you. You said that they need to separate. Carson Wentz doesn't seem to gel with what Doug Peterson is trying to do.
Carson Wentz and Doug Peterson don't work together.
Yes.
But Carson Wentz wants to do, I think maybe it's even the case of right now, Doug Peterson is trying to design an offensive system that caters to Carson Wentz's skill set. And that doesn't work with what Doug Peterson's skill set is as an offensive play caller. Like, I think you mentioned, would Carson Wentz be good in Philadelphia? I mean, in Kansas City. And I think, yes, he would be because, you know, there's tons of weapons. But I'm not sure that Carson Wentz is the quarterback that Andy Reid would draft. Does that make sense? Like, he holds the ball a ton. He wants to make playground plays.
Let me ask Debo this, because I don't remember 2017. How was Carson Wentz? I would imagine he got the ball out quicker.
Yeah, I mean, he did everything better. He did everything right. He was the MVP through 13 weeks, and then since then, it's been a decline. You guys are bringing up Kansas City. I wanted to bring up R.J. White tweeted this out during the game, and I thought this was interesting. It even shocked me a little bit. But he said, trade Wentz to the Colts for a first-round pick in the offseason. He gets to reunite with Frank Reich. You get to shed that contract and pick up a much-needed asset for a rebuilding offense. I love Carson Wentz. I've defended him. I think he will regain his form. Probably not this year, but I'm not dead on him for the rest of his career, like I said. But a first-round pick even surprised me a little bit when I read that.
Yeah, you're driving him Indianapolis to offer a first-round pick. Yeah,
you get a first-round pick. Well, I don't know about that.
No. Are you crazy? No way.
I mean, if Frank Reich likes him enough, I don't think that's crazy because the Colts are going to be picking in the bottom 20s. It's not going to be a high pick.
Okay. Would you rather
he's going to first-round pick too much or too little?
No, I'm saying if I'm Frank Reich and I personally – still believe in Carson Wentz, I'm giving up a 25th overall pick for Carson Wentz.
It's probably
that's all they want.
I'm saying it's way too much because here's the conversation. Hey, how about a first round pick and some change for Matthew Stafford or a first round pick for Carson Wentz?
Well, I mean, I hate to break it to you guys. Phillip Rivers has been way better than Carson Wentz this year.
Okay, Phillip Rivers, if he played for the Eagles, they would be 0-16.
Yes.
Right. Philip Rivers.
Oh, he's got 12 wins if he's on the Eagles. I know.
Right, Phillip Rivers would be terrible with the Eagles team because the offensive line is awful. But Phillip Rivers has been way better than Carson Wentz this year.
We're just saying the situation. Carson Wentz would have an offensive line in Indianapolis. He'd have weapons. I think he would do well there.
And now you're teetering on a discussion of, is Doug Peterson a problem?
I don't think that's teetering. I think it's pretty clear that he's a problem.
I mean, is Doug Peterson a bad coach?
When Frank Reich left, we've had this conversation before. Debo's brought it up. When I've asked him, Frank Reich left and things took a sharp turn south. So,
and John DeFilippo.
I've said it before too. I don't like the lack of offensive coordinator. Just have someone in that role. As a head coach, you're doing a lot of things across the organization. We made that analogy before. Have someone in that role. I don't think this is Doug's last season. I think he's done great things. He's made the playoffs in the past 3 years. I think people forget that a little bit. A coach with that resume should be allowed to have a down season, which it is. There's bad circumstances, but he's been really bad.
He's been very bad.
And by the way,
at the end of the game tonight,
you can't by the way me with your by the way. Go ahead.
I didn't mean to do that, but I was going to say at the end of the game tonight, the Eagles are down 11. It's 4th and 4. They've averaged 3.1 yards per play. And Doug Peterson went for it and had Carson Wentz. I guess he didn't call the play the end zone. I don't know. Why didn't you kick the field goal there?
So I mentioned Dan Orlovsky earlier, who is the kick the field goal, Brent Brinson's saying. Orlovsky is at ESPN. He's a longtime NFL quarterback, and he's a Philly guy.
He's a podcast.
He's a friend of the podcast. I sat next to him on the plane going to the Nashville draft.
No, he was actually on the podcast this offseason.
That's what I just said. He's a friend of the podcast. Anyway, What breach?
I was going to say, just to be clear, Brinson's point, there was 13:33 left in the game. It was 20-9. And so the field goal is no
good. How do you not kick that field goal?
You cut it to 20-12. Even the analytics people who hate field goals, all analytics people hate field goals, and they were saying you kick the field goal. This was a no-brainer. This was that easy layup as far as kicking field goals go. Okay, that's it.
So, yeah, Orlovsky, who has
made Ryan's plane ride with Dan.
Yeah. And then I ordered a drink and we started talking. So tonight he tweeted, because he's a huge defender of Carson Wentz, and he's an Eagles. Like I imagine,
sort of getting a pass on this egg of a season by Wentz, by the way, from Dan.
But here's the thing. Here's what he tweeted shortly after the game. Carson Wentz wasn't good enough tonight. That's a big admission by Dan Orlovsky. Then he also said Sanders only had 8 touches. Inexcusable, all caps. Wentz was taken out of the pocket 1 time. Inexcusable, all caps. The quarterback led the team in rushing. The offensive line gave up 6 sacks, a lot of drops, 0 creativity, 0 winners outside, which you talked about, the receivers getting open, terrible game management. So I think that points to DOUG as well. So he's pointing the fingers at not even the usual suspects, the people that he usually tries to prop up. So if he's off the ship, things are
dire. He's been off the ship since week 3. I mean, this is the Titanic crashing to the iceberg. And it's insane because this team won the Super Bowl in 2017.
Yeah, but we've seen teams take turns. Good football.
Yeah, it reminds me a little bit of the Ravens. But
I mean, the 49ers are not good this year. They were in the Super Bowl last year, but they've had a ton of injuries. And no one's
sure.
But I mean, my point is that, yeah, you know, it's understandable that this team is struggling, but the way they're struggling, the way the 49ers are struggling compared to the way the Eagles are struggling are diametrically opposed, because everyone has every faith that Kyle Shanahan knows what he's doing. I think very few people have that faith with Doug Peterson.
Well, I would say that if you scroll back to February 18th, 2018, here's a headline from ESPN. Why one Super Bowl win has Eagles thinking dynasty.
Yeah, but I mean, we probably wrote some of those stories too, because we write every story.
I'm scared I wrote one of those too.
I was going to say. I mean, we probably said that about the Rams after they got their doors blown off.
Oh, here's a good one. Is this Kevin Clark or Mays? Super Bowl recap. The Eagles were built to dethrone the Patriots dynasty. That's actually not inaccurate.
But, and then Frank Reich left. So, I mean, that just shows you how important it's impossible to keep all
We're giving a whole lot of credit to Frank Reich, because I said he was a top 10 coach and you all laughed at me.
I don't remember that.
That happened, Debo. You know that happened.
Yeah, you said he was way better than Mike Tomlin.
Is Doug Peterson a better coach than Sean McVay?
No.
I know. Shout out the Bleep.
That's a laugh riot.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even get that, but yeah, I don't think anyone would. I'm sure even Cody Benjamin.
You know what, though? Looking back at kind of how this game went down.
Let me finish my thought.
Oh, yeah. I thought the story was done. And
no, Cody
was
Benjamin.
A big
yada, yada, yada.
I know. I think Cody.
Up at the Spearmint Rhino.
I think our coworker, Cody Benjamin, who's an Eagles fan, would agree that Sean McVay's had a much better season than Doug Peterson. That's my point. Go ahead, Rich.
Cody is an Eagles fan. I haven't seen him. Like, I've seen him. It's a WWE.
He's very upbeat about the Eagles prospects in general.
Right. I keep waiting for this term from Debo and it won't happen. Like the twist from Debo where he's like, that's it. I'm out on Doug. How he's dead to me. Carson can eat it.
I'm waiting for that. I'm waiting for that mathematical elimination. And then even when that happens, I just turn my sights to Jamar Chase, which they'll pass on for
Jamar Chase,
Rondale Moore.
And Debo, you're in the NFC East. You can't be mathematically eliminated until week 17.
I thought you were doing a Sixers thing. I was like, who is this basketball player?
That's where they're at. He's going to save the
Eagles, but I do think that wide receiver thing, that is like, they took Jalen Reagor over Justin Jefferson and Arcega Whiteside over DK Metcalf. That's in back-to-back years. That's a really, like, I think Howie Roseman is one of the best general managers in football. Those are two bad blunders at wide receiver.
Yeah, but here's the thing about DK, and I've sort of talked about this before. He had that neck injury, and people didn't know if he was going to be healthy. So we talk about the three-cone drill, and that's
evident. He was in everybody's top 10 in the draft out of the combine, Wilson.
No, that's right. He ran 4.3. But there were concerns. Like, I don't care about when I'm looking at these guys, I don't care how injured they are. But, I mean, that's a legit concern if you're spending money on guys. So I understand that. But it's hard to explain why J.J. Arcega-Whiteside sucks. I think a lot of people thought he was a second-round pick, and the Eagles weren't alone in that. They just struggled with that pick. And what was the other one that you mentioned? Oh, Reagor and Justin Jefferson. Justin Jefferson went 22. I mean, he went after Henry Ruggs. He went after Jerry Jeudy.
Everyone and their brother had the Eagles connected to Justin Jefferson.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
And it was like a freebie, and then Howie went Reagor instead. And Reagor hadn't been bad, he's been hurt, but Jefferson is like competing with Justin Herbert for rookie of the year.
Jalen Reagor was very explosive at TCU.
Justin Jefferson would be helping this Eagles team a lot more than Jalen Reagor.
Little plug here, Justin Jefferson joined Patrick Peterson and Brian McFadden tonight on All Things Covered, available now anywhere podcasts are found. He was shocked that he was the fifth wide receiver taken, and we brought up that Eagles pick, the pick before.
He didn't know, or he?
I mean,
he went that late. He went that late.
Pat P's an LSU guy. So that's
yes. Yes. And
I keep wondering who gets these guests for the show.
It's all me, Will.
I didn't even get these guests for my show. Our show.
But yeah, he was pretty shocked that the Eagles passed on him himself.
Some good content coming out of there?
Yeah, of course. He thinks
bloggable content?
He thinks he's the rookie of the year.
Yeah, he should. He's doing great.
It's like 6-1 right now.
I was actually legitimately excited when he came on the set of the combine. I was very excited that he measured 6-1 or whatever and weighed 215 and ran a 4.44 something.
The twist for me has been that not that he couldn't be productive outside. I always thought he could. But he was so productive in the slot his final year at LSU, I thought that he would need to be in three wide receiver sets to dominate.
I asked him that.
That's not the case.
I asked him that. I said, you play a lot of slot, blah, blah, blah. He goes, my year before, I played a lot outside. I'm not worried about it at all. I was like, all right.
Who's that for you? We did the thing again. Do we need to take a break, Debo, or no?
Nah, let's just skip it. Let's talk a little. I'm done talking Eagles. Let's talk Seahawks.
No, that's what I'm saying. Do we need to take a break?
Let's Seahawks? Skip it. Yeah, let's
skip the break. Debo's feeling it. So the Seahawks won the game. DK Metcalf, career high receiving yards, 177. Hello. Russell Wilson, 230 passing yards. That's a substantial percentage to DK. Chris Carson, 8 carries, 41 yards and a touchdown. Pete Carroll's a liar. A liar. Carlos Hyde, 15 carries, 22 yards. What are you doing? Why are you dragging this carcass known as Carlos Hyde out there when we could have been lighting up the Eagles defense with Chris Carson winning my prop bets? Pete, I digress. Tyler Lockett did nothing. How do we feel about the Seahawks?
I feel a lot better about them because where did this defense come from? I mean, the first 10 weeks of the season, Russell Wilson was like getting surgery on his back because he literally had to carry this team. He had no defense. They were on pace to give up more than 7,000 yards. They just looked absolutely horrible. All of a sudden, we saw it in their last game against the Cardinals, slowed down Kyler Murray, held the Cardinals offense in check. And at the time, I think the Cardinals were putting up the most yardage per game in the NFL. They are not anymore because they are in a rut. And then this game, they sacked Carson Wentz 6 times. We know the Eagles offensive line is bad, but the Seahawks defense was bad. So there was no reason to think they were just going to dominate. And that's exactly what they did. Before that fluky final drive with the Hail Mary touchdown, the Seahawks had held the Eagles to under 200 total yards. Jamal Adams played great. And to be honest, both of the Eagles touchdowns in this game were fluke. Not only did we have the Hail Mary, but the one before the end of the first half came because the refs, I have no idea what the refs did, but on a play that should have been intentional grounding and a 20-yard loss, Carson Wentz threw the ball out of bounds when he was being rushed. The ref said that the ball got to the line of scrimmage. It was 3 yards short. It was not close at all. It should have been intentional grounding. It wasn't. And then the Eagles ended up scoring a touchdown on that drive. So I thought the Seahawks defense, because it looks so legit right now, that's 2 weeks in a row. If they keep playing like this, all of a sudden they're a Super Bowl contender. I did not think they were Super Bowl contender 3 weeks ago because defense wasn't good. Now I'm changing my mind.
I thought they were Super Bowl contender. By the way, the Bengals should petition the league to include that 3-yard rule, and Randy Bullock would have 2 more wins, and the Bengals would be much better than they are now. No, I look, Breach, you know why the defense is better. Jamal Adams is back, and your guy Carlos Dunlap is a huge benefit to that defense as an edge rusher. And also, you know, you mentioned it, Kyler Murray was hurt last week, and then this week the Eagles offense is one big walking pile of ineptitude, but I think they are better. And, I don't remember what I ranked. I think last week it was the Saints, Packers, Seahawks. And I still think that's the order for me right now, the NFC.
Saints,
Packers, Seahawks. I think it's the order I had last time we spoke about this.
I would go Saints, Rams, Packers.
Yeah, you keep going with the Rams. I don't get that.
Better defense. Defense is going to matter in the playoffs. It does. Defense.
You just
matters.
Spent 30 minutes talking about Russell Wilson overcoming everything, and now you're going with Jared Goff over Russell Wilson. Think about that for a second.
Well, the whole point was if Russell Wilson played with the defense that didn't suck, he'd win 12 games.
Breach just explained to you, as I explained to you previously, this defense doesn't suck anymore. They're just
okay, now. I'm going to explain to you something.
I'm ready. I'm holding on.
No, I'm going to get this out of the way because I don't want to hear it in the next few weeks. Do you know what the Seahawks schedule looks like?
The easiest schedule literally in the history of the NFL.
Easiest schedule in the history of football. I do not want to hear it in 3 weeks when the Seahawks defense is ranked 12th in DVOA. I don't want to hear it.
DVOA counts for the strength of schedule. Numbnuts.
I don't care. I don't want to hear any stats. Oh,
you're saying you don't want to hear it, period.
I think the Seahawks are trending a little bit like the 2019 Chiefs in that they.
That's good.
Hit a lull.
That team
have a really
Bowl.
Good quarterback, have some great weapons, and the defense is going to start to come around as the playoffs come here. But it's Giants, Jets, Washington, Rams, 49ers.
Well, wait, how's this an argument for your Rams at number two? I don't understand where you're going with this.
I'm not trying to argue against the Rams. I'm just saying the Seahawks defense is going to look really good over the next 4 weeks.
But you have the Rams second behind the Saints, right? Is that what you just said?
I have the Rams second, yes.
Okay, then why are you defending the Seahawks?
I'm telling you in advance, I don't want to hear you over the next 4 weeks try to
call dunking okay.
and proppings up of the Seahawks defense.
But you're still confident in the Rams. I got you.
Yeah, very confident.
All right, you're just telling us to shut up ahead of time about the Seahawks because
correct.
The Rams may not win pretty, but you
think I think it's a toss-up in this division. I mean, I think the Rams are going to beat the Cardinals twice.
Yeah, I don't know. I think we talked about we don't know the health of Kyler Murray, and if he's not 100%, who knows what's going on there. I think Cliff Kingsbury, you've talked about this a lot, is very conservative. You know, he looks like the guy driving the Ferrari, you know, with no shirt on.
30 miles an hour, no shirt on, like this. Right. Hey, babes.
Like Matthew McConaughey would drive a Ferrari with no shirt
on. All right. Russ and DK is unstoppable.
Yeah.
It has, like, Jerry Rice, Joe Montana stuff to it.
Man, that's
it's crazy.
I was thinking Carson Palmer, Chad Ochocinco, but I can go with that.
I don't think it's that crazy. I mean, DK's an animal.
He is, but I mean, he ain't Jerry Rice. Let's settle down.
Yeah.
By the way, don't tell him he's not Megatron.
In the sense that he's not Jerry Rice because he's bigger and stronger and faster and should have more touchdowns. He's ahead of Jerry Rice right now on pace in terms of his stats.
Yeah, no, I'm sure.
Well, Russell Wilson said earlier this year he thinks that he and DK Metcalf can break Peyton Manning and Marvin Harrison's all-time touchdown record, which Peyton Manning said in 2016 was the one record he thought he would hold his entire life because he didn't think it would ever be broken.
What is it? It's like 216?
115.
115?
Close.
that wasn't close.
But number two is 93, so no one's even gotten within 115? 15 of it.
I feel like they're breaking that.
Next year.
Feeds DK in the red zone. DK is an animal down the field. If you get him in the open field, he just runs like a fell on steroids.
He has to play at least 10 years. And I mean, that's a huge assumption there.
Well, yeah, if he plays 4 years, then that's over.
But how many wide receivers play at that level for 10 years? Jerry Rice, Marvin Harrison, T.O.
It's his second year.
Yeah, no.
Five wide receiver in the NFL right now.
But you need 8 more years at that level. That's all I'm saying. Like even Antonio Brown burned out pretty quickly for different reasons. But you know, it could be.
Oh, I mean, if DK Metcalf ends up being like Antonio Brown, then yes, that's a problem. Right now, he's.
But also, if he's putting up these huge numbers, if he's putting up these huge numbers that he's going to get to 115, the Seahawks are going to have to pay him eventually about $22 million per year.
So, you pay that guy whatever he wants.
Breach, Brinson just told you a few minutes ago, don't bring up numbers to him. All he's worried about is the bottom line. And the bottom line is they're breaking the record. They're not breaking the record. But they're fun to watch. I mean, it's great. I think this is what Russ has been looking for. The real loser in this is Tyler Lockett, unfortunately, who's awesome. But I mean.
DK Metcalf, by the way, is our buddy Joe Fan, friend of the pod, said playing in Philadelphia could have been home, but the Eagles opted not to draft him. Quote, I've got to make them pay.
Yeah, remember when I said that stuff doesn't matter? Turns out I was wrong. The motivation.
This is tough too. Ruben Frank of NBC Sports tweets this. J-Jaw.
What does that mean?
You know who J-Jaw is? Mm-hmm. Devo, who's J-Jaw?
That's the guy that you guys hyped up in the offseason as being a valuable contributor to the Eagles offense.
And J-Jaw. Chicago-Whiteside, gotcha. Thought it was some hip-hop guy or something.
214 gotcha. Career yards. Tonight, DK Metcalf at 177.
I'm shocked he has 214 career yards. Right? I thought it was like 56.
No. Oh, no. Wilson, why are you fading DK Metcalf?
What are you talking about? I put the audio in there.
I don't think he's fading DK Metcalf. He's just saying that getting to 115 touchdowns.
No, because he got one tonight. He should have had two. So he has 17 career touchdowns in 27 career games. This is a bad fade, man. Buy all the DK Metcalf stock you can buy. Stop fading him.
Okay, yeah. I'm fading him because I don't think he's going to get 100. What's the record reach? 117?
115.
I mean, Russell Wilson's 32. Does that come into play at all?
I'll bet you Russell Wilson and DK Metcalf play together for 8 years.
What's the parlay if they break the record with Russell Wilson as also stay, being 42 years old when they accomplish it?
That's what they need. He's averaging, let's say he averages 8 touchdowns a year.
Oh, that's like 12 years. So Russell's going to be 44.
Okay. Now it's going to take 8 years at the pace they're going.
Oh yeah, I'll take the bet. Anybody want to take the bet? $100.
I'll bet you $10 million. It doesn't.
The good news is we'll all be alive. We'll still be friends. We'll still be betting.
Unless it'll be
a hard. Right, so $100. I will take DK and Russ to beat Peyton and Marvin.
That's fine. I'm happy.
I'll take that. If Wilson doesn't, I'll take that.
No, we're both taking it.
I'll take all the action you want.
Yeah, exactly. He'll never pay, so it's fine.
Yeah, it's 8 years from now.
I wrote it down.
Are you in or out, Breach?
What's the bet?
No, $100. Metcalf and Ross beat Manning. And
like $100 in current value or accounting for inflation 8 years from now?
It's $100 worth of Bitcoin and then whatever the Bitcoin value is in 8 years.
No, I just got to double check, man, because $100 right now is going to be worth like $80.
But no one's holding an interest, so it doesn't matter.
By the way,
we should put it into an annuity so the money can grow.
Maybe we should put Bitcoin.
You skipped over the part right over where Breach said, okay, I just wrote it down. And then he said, what's the bet? Like, look at the sheet of paper you just wrote it on.
All right, Breach, you in or out?
I'm out.
He's out.
Ah, ooh.
You can't trust Breach. Right, that's
I got $100.
I'll be the referee of this bet. I'll make sure Brinton pays when he loses.
Yeah, Metcalf breaks his legs next week. It's going to be.
I mean, this is worse than the Garrett Bradbury Trent Williams parlay. That's how bad this is.
What about the Mitchell Trubisky MVP?
Oh my
god. Brinton single-handedly bringing his odds down.
Triple right,
he's 140 to 1. It wasn't even that crazy. How long is it? This podcast? 45 minutes? What are we doing? Dog won't stop. He's just standing on the porch barking. It's ridiculous.
He's like, how are you guys not done?
All right. So
hide the elf.
So Debo, are the Eagles done?
No.
Playoff. Okay. You're not willing to say that. Breach. Are the Eagles done in your mind?
The Eagles, have you seen their schedule? They play the Packers next week. They play the Saints. That's 3-9-1. Then they play the Cardinals, Cowboys, and Washington. They win two of those at best, getting them to 5-10-1. Does 5-10-1 win the division? Because if not, they're done.
Six wins. It's the division winner.
You think Daniel Jones is getting the six wins? Because Daniel Jones is injured.
I don't. I think Daniel Jones is getting the seven wins.
The best part is I'm paying off this, like if I lose this Harrison bet, I'm paying it off with the winnings from the Washington football team division champion.
I think it's telling that the Cowboys have the longest odds to win the division.
And Brinton's betting on a team that plays the Steelers, the 49ers, and the Seahawks in the next 3 weeks.
All right.
I don't think Washington is bad.
I think it's just a tough schedule.
They're going to be an underdog in all of those three games.
Look, we talked about Carson Wentz for 30 minutes. He sucks. Daniel Jones is hurt. Colt McCoy sucks. No offense, Colt. Andy Dalton, we've talked about him for 10 years on this podcast. Unquestionably, inevitably,
the best regular season quarterback in NFL
history. Now we have Alex Smith, who does not suck. And the best defensive line of all these teams.
Yeah, you got the defense as the part that you lead with.
Yeah. And the best coach, too. Ron?
Riviera.
Who's the right? If you're picking a head coach right now, this head coaching in the NFC East is going sideways.
Would everyone stick with the team they originally picked, knowing what we know after week 12? Like Daniel Jones is injured. Ryan, would you stick with the Giants?
I'm all in on the Giants.
Oh, stop it.
I think Debo, are you still with the Eagles?
I am all in.
Oh my goodness. I'm still with the Cowboys.
Wait. All three of you, well, I guess Ryan won, but his quarterback got hurt. And he's all in. Y'all are morons.
I mean,
what are the odds for Washington? I'm going to hammer this.
This is like watching, like you blindfold a bunch of 3-year-olds and tell them to try to win a race. And like, you go halfway there and like one's ahead of the other. You're not chasing. You don't care. It's blind luck.
What do we think the odds are that the NFL goes to 8 playoff spots? I feel like it's kind of high.
I don't know. I mean, they're trying their hardest to make sure they get all these games in, and I feel like they just want everything to be as close to normal as possible.
Well, just think about it. We had this nightmare coming out of Thanksgiving that I don't know how the NFL didn't account for or think about this. The fact that everyone's going to be with their families and there was going to be a crazy spread. Oh, guess what happens right at the end of the regular season? Oh, Christmas. Oh, that whole entire week where people are going to hang out with their family. And if you deal with this situation in week 16 and week 17, now you've dug yourself a deep hole. So I wouldn't be surprised if they end up going to
And Breach, to your point, so you have teams that are going to be playing at the end of the season, playoff teams who are going to be like locked in. The coaches are telling them, like, hey, man, like, look, stay at the facility. Go straight home. You know, see your family. Come right back. Play, practice, don't see anyone, avoid all contact. And but they're going to be playing teams who are so far out of the playoffs.
Right.
Like, if you're the Jets, like, you do whatever you want. You're not listening to Adam Gase. And
he's like, I'm 22 and I've got $5 million in the bank. And you want me to just go home and hang out and play Xbox? I don't think so.
Maybe they should take that week 18 and use it as a bye. Just like a get everyone healthy bye.
I've been saying this for the entire season. They need to have a 2-week break between the regular season and the playoffs. Test, rest, reset.
Oh, you need one more.
But the problem with that is, what are those people doing during that 2-week break? You know, like,
well, you take the playoff teams and you say, hey, look, you're part of the playoff roster.
Put them in the bubble.
You're in the bubble.
Yeah, or do the same thing you did with them during training camp. I mean, they're not going to be, you know, the holidays are
bubble everybody for the playoffs. And once you're eliminated, I mean, it's one game, you're out, you're done.
Go crazy. And you can even get rid of the extra bye week between the championship game and the Super Bowl. Just use that bye week earlier. And that way, if you're concerned about that.
I saw Mike Silver reporting on NFL media that they could play the Super Bowl as late as March 17th.
That's been the talking point for a while. I'm sure Breach knows the exact dates.
I wrote a story about it.
But I mean, it does make sense. Like, if, cause it's one thing to make the Broncos play with Kendall Hinton in week 12.
And just to be clear, we talked about this in the podcast yesterday. It was explained by Adam Schefter why they did it, because it was contained to that group, and Bree sort of mentioned this last night.
No, but I'm saying that it's totally different if you have, hypothetically, Chiefs and Titans in the divisional round, and Patrick Mahomes can't play.
Right, we talked about that too. Exactly.
That's a problem.
This is basically like, you know, how we used to wonder how Roger Goodell punished people and just whatever whim came across his mind. That's how he punished, because it's random. I think it's the same way with this.
Yeah. Yes. I.
Kendall Hinton has to start. Patrick Mahomes is sick. We're gonna have to wait 2 weeks.
They're like, who is Kendall Hinton? It's like, he's your guy. All right. That's it. That's the show. Lasted a long time. Weird how when we do Eagles shows that Devo doesn't try to rush out of here.
I did send a let's wrap message about 17 minutes ago, but. Good point.
Why would I have these alerts?
I don't. You just gotta look at. You gotta look at Slack. It tells you.
Oh yeah. Sorry. I see it.
You said can break shortly, and then got 14 like tweets from Breach and Wilson. Anyway, that's the show. See you guys tomorrow.
Okay. Picture this: it's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.